When supporting a loved one with feeding differences, it's easy to feel like you're alone. At Feeding Matters, our hope is for you to find the community, resources, and support that you need. Through our Power of Two parent-to-parent mentoring program, parents in need of support are matched with one of our volunteer family coaches who have lived experience with their own child and can offer emotional support, resources, and guidance to lessen the isolation that families often face with pediatric feeding disorder, as well as avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. Families can request a one-time phone call or a 3-month or 6-month match by filling out the request form on our website. A family coach will make contact via text or email first to set up a phone or video call, typically within 2 to 3 days. For more information, please contact us at 623-242-5234, extension 1, or at feedingmatters.org. And please remember, you're not alone.
Presented by Feeding Matters, with host Jacqueline Peterson and Dr. Haley Estrom.
Feeding does matter.
Hey everyone, it's Jacqueline Peterson, CEO of Feeding Matters. I am joining you today with Heidi Vandermolen, who is our senior program manager of our family support at Feeding Matters. And we're together to talk about the time that we're in. We felt like it was important to be able to gather our community to try to do whatever we could to make sure we are a space for sharing resources, sharing information, and doing all of those things. So I've asked Heidi to join today to share a little bit about the work that she's doing and some tools and links that we've got available to people to be able to find resources, given all of the uncertainty and that everything is kind of changing moment by moment, day by day. Heidi, it was really interesting because we kicked off our conference talking about food insecurity and kind of the intersection between food insecurity and feeding disorders and differences. And now it's really important that we bridge those worlds even more. Thanks for joining me in this space.
Well, thanks for having me, Jacqueline. How are you doing?
You know, doing okay. It's always hard to figure out how best to support our community. And this is even without the current moment that we're in. We hear stories from families all the time. And I know all of our community does about what our families need in the moment. And so it always feels like we're kind of never doing enough. And this is just another one of those moments. And so hopefully with our community, we can provide a little bit of support, knowing there's so much more that needs to be there. But hopefully some of the things that you and our amazing volunteers have put together will be helpful. So thanks for coming on and sharing. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. And, you know, like you mentioned, it's difficult times, and especially with the food insecurity our families face. Just there's so many stories of families not being able to get the specific brands that their child needs to flourish, or just, you know, afraid to spend the money on something that their child may or may not eat. And that's just compounded on, you know, what's happening in the world today. So, you know, I love working for Feeding Matters because you are so thoughtful in, okay, this is happening in our world today. How can we better support our families? And we have such an amazing community of volunteers, both families, healthcare professionals, family advisory council members, that, you know, when we told them that, look, you know, this is very, it feels very similar to when there was a formula shortage, we need to share any available resource for families and put it all in one place so they're not frantically on their computer or smartphone Googling, where can I find this? Where can I get this? How can I receive help? So, you know, we reached out to the feeding community and they were so quick to share national resources, state resources. And what is just truly amazing to me is there is this sense of urgency and this fear for everyone involved. And so being able to come together and put these resources on our It's Not Picky Eating website is just, it's truly amazing. And I really hope that families and healthcare professionals will be able to utilize these links in order to find the support that they need, whether it's diapers, formula, food. And then also, you know, we will be keeping a close eye on what's happening and adding to this page of national resources and local resources. And then also hopefully creating a movement where, you know, we can encourage people to start a food bank in their own office or clinic. And so we're preparing a flyer on how to do that because everyone can help no matter how big or how small. And that includes families helping other families with, you know, formula that they may not need or utensils that they no longer use. So I just really feel strongly that we will get through this and we'll get through it together as a community.
Yeah, so true, Heidi. And just an incredible thank you to you and the volunteers and our community council members who have really stepped up to make sure that this can be as comprehensive of a resource as we can make it, and knowing that it'll continuously be updated with more and more information. And especially as things change, we wanted to make sure that this was a resource page that could live on even beyond any sort of immediate need, whether that was shutdown or economic. And then, yeah, thank you for mentioning the flyer about how to kind of start that food bank at your own therapy office. We know that we've got a lot of therapy providers that are part of our community and have been trying to figure out like what they can do. And it's really leaning into your community in that way. And I think if you were at the conference, you heard Dr. Essel talk about how to spot food insecurity.
How do we define food insecurity? Basically, food insecurity is when all members in a household don't have consistent access to enough food to live an active and healthy lifestyle. When all members in a household don't have consistent access to enough, the quantity of food is insufficient to live an active and healthy lifestyle. It's important to understand that food insecurity exists and it's quite prevalent. What do I mean by quite prevalent? Every single county in this country experiences food insecurity. There's not one county free of food insecurity. I remember when I started training providers, clinicians, around addressing food insecurity way back. And I remember what they said to me. Yeah, it doesn't exist in my clinic. It's over there in that clinic over there. There's no way it exists in my clinic. The reality is that food insecurity did exist in their clinic. When they started to screen and they started to realize that it existed right in front of their faces, when they started to see it, they could not unsee it. Not only is food insecurity prevalent, it's ubiquitous. Not only is it ubiquitous, it's invisible. The families that came into clinic that they expected to have food insecurity were not the families that they expected. Families came wearing their best. And they said, well, this family, I never would have expected it. Why? Because families want to maintain a sense of dignity. They want you to recognize their humanity. So why should they present in any way as other than their best selves? And in fact, a lot of families said, I don't want you to think anything's going on at home, because if you think something's going on at home, what if you think I'm a neglectful parent? And what if you try to take my child away from me? We have to create safe environments in our clinical spaces.
We are encouraging you to be thinking about your patient population in that way, and we're here to help in whatever that looks like. This is how we know that we can do this in the moment right now, by sharing what's working out there for others. This resource came about because of the chair of our consortium, Rachel, who is doing this in her own space. And I know others are doing some, so please share it with us and we can share successes. And then the bigger conversation too is, we know that because people don't know about feeding disorders and differences and how they impact families and adults and even children, is we're also trying to do some education, knowing that this is an urgent moment, but it's also an ongoing and kind of chronic need too, to really raise the awareness and education of what do families need when they are asking for specialty food and why they're asking for it. And so we are working on reaching out to all of the different resources that are listed on our page with some information about feeding disorders and differences like PFD and ARFID, and to help with some of that awareness level and understanding. And we really are sharing us as a resource to anyone that is out there that wants to better understand our population in a way to support their specific needs, when it's a family and child and adult seeking some support and assistance, especially with food access, knowing that there's very critical needs that our community has around food access and the intersection of that and feeding disorders and differences.
Oh, for sure, Jacqueline. And one thing that I do want to mention in regards to setting up food banks or even the current food banks, it's really important to let them know that a lot of these families have a child who will only eat specific brands or specific foods. And a lot of times those specialty items are not available, readily available at food banks. So if you're, you know, a clinician or someone who is working with food banks, like you mentioned, bringing that awareness so that perhaps we can get more people to donate these items that families really, really need, but are unable to get.
Yep. It's just a huge part of everybody is immersed in a community. And while we consider our national, international community at Feeding Matters, and we really are trying to always put you all at the forefront and be reactive and responsive to what your needs are, that also goes for the local community too. And we've been really trying to like figure out how do we build up local communities. But in this specific moment of need and this specific time to step up, I do really think it will be so beneficial for all of you that are out there. And I know you've been thinking about this. It's been hard on your hearts. We've heard from so many of you what you've been going through. And so, you know, hopefully this helps, you know, you're not alone in this either, that there's others doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And if you've got ideas on how to keep this network going of like how to change and adapt to what your community needs, happy to help be that conduit and information source for everybody. So Heidi and I just wanted to share this just to help everybody know that we know it's hard out there and we're here for you, and we will continuously try to work on what are the next things that we need to do to make sure our community is supported.
Yes. And I just want to add, Jacqueline, that if there are families out there feeling alone or not knowing how to get through this, please contact us at Feeding Matters. We are here for you. No matter how big or how small, you know, your struggles are, you don't have to face it alone. And we will always do our best to, you know, guide you to the resources and support that you need and deserve.
Yes. Definitely. Well, thank you. And thanks for letting us interrupt our typical podcast Tuesday drop for this. We thought it was really important. And we'll see everybody next week. Thank you.